The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Jenna Ellis Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
As a constitutional law attorney, former senior legal advisor and personal counsel to President Donald J. Trump, Jenna Ellis believes in the rule of law and the importance of integrity in our elections. And she's ready to tackle the big cultural and legal issues facing America. This is the Jenna Ellis Show. Here is your host, Jenna Ellis.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Jenna Ellis Show. I'm Jenna Ellis, and today the Twitter space happened a second one for a presidential candidate. And this time Elon Musk hosted RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is running to primary Joe Biden on the Democrat side. So a few of you who may have wanted to listen into that Twitter space, there were still some technical difficulties. And so that Twitter space ended up having to start on a new link, but we did eventually get there. And that Twitter space did happen. So I want to break it down and provide some analysis on how conservatives need to be thinking overall about presidential candidates. So stick around right after this. With inflation, the banking world collapse, and everything that Joe Biden is doing not to protect America, you need to make sure to secure your financial health, especially in retirement. And hey, if you're a millennial like me, that actually is sooner than you think. You need to start now, even if you are a millennial or a Gen Zer, to make sure that your financial health is actually healthy when we get to retirement. And Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in gold and silver online in real time. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped right to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar, and this puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A truly diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This brand new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with just a few clicks. Visit LegacyPM.com to get started. You can download the free investor's guide, and you can also call Legacy PM Investments to talk to a portfolio expert to get expert answers to customize your personal portfolio. So visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. Tell them that Jenna sent you. All right. So we are talking about the RFK Jr. Twitter space with Elon Musk and how initially the Twitter space had about 180,000 participants that were setting the reminder to go and actually follow this Twitter space. There were still some technical difficulties with the infrastructure of Twitter spaces. But overall, you know, these are not things that can't be overcome. And Elon Musk and the co-host David Sacks, as well as presidential candidate for the Democratic side, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., did join. And after about a two-hour Twitter space, there were over, I think, close to 600,000 participants is what was recorded in that Twitter space. So I listened to the entire thing, and I have to say off the top, this really gave me hope as a conservative, as an American, that there are people in this country that are willing to call out their own party and first and foremost be Americans, be originalists in terms of the Constitution, and actually put forward their solutions that are not just siloed partisan party based, but to genuinely say, you know, hey, this is something that concerns all Americans. And I think that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. made it very clear that he is running, yes, as a Democrat, but really in the interests of all Americans. And I found this to be hopeful as a conservative and as someone who has also had a lot of issues myself with my own party, which has for all of my life until 2021 been the Republican Party. And I should be willing, as a member traditionally, historically, of the Republican Party, I'm now unaffiliated because of problems in the Republican Party, to call out that party and the neocons and the warmongers and the people who are really the uniparty elitist globalists within the Republican Party, as much as I want people like RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, and others to call out the Democrat Party. Because if all I'm doing as an American and as a voter is calling out members of the opposition party and then expressing complete fealty to whatever is under the R label, then really I would be a Republican first before being an American and before saying that, hey, anybody who takes the oath of office on the federal level and specifically for the highest office in the land is subscribing and committing their oath and affirmation to America, not to a party, and to the Constitution, and to carry out faithfully defending, preserving, and protecting the U.S. Constitution and the rights for all Americans, not a party. And so when we have a president, even though, of course, party politics matter and elections absolutely matter and primaries matter, we have to, and I think we've lost sight of this as Americans and genuinely as conservatives, that we shouldn't be expressing a loyalty to partisan politics over and above our loyalty to our U.S. Constitution because we're Americans and for hopefully most of you who listen to this show as Christians, first and foremost, and because of the worldview that is the Christian worldview, my politics and my policy perspectives on everything, whether it's free market capitalism, whether it's pro-life, whether it's human sexuality, whether it's parental rights, whether it's education, whether it's the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms and self-defense and the right to free speech, the right to free exercise of religion, all of these things are not just informed by being a Republican versus a Democrat. Ultimately, my perspectives on policy and the role of government is informed by my Christianity and my Christian faith. And that was true for the founding fathers as well. Their understanding of the human condition, of man's fallen nature, that man is not essentially good, but is essentially disposed to evil and disposed to tyranny. And therefore, government is necessary to control the baser urges of the flaws of humanity and to promote human flourishing in the form of pursuing happiness and the freedoms and liberties and the blessings of liberty that we enjoy in this country outflows from a basic worldview premise of where our rights come from, why our founders saw fit to create a constitutional republic as a form of government rather than a direct democracy, rather than a monarchy, rather than a parliamentary system that is sort of coupled with or in tandem with a monarchy like what they came out of in Great Britain and what they had seen through the scope of world history and human history of these different types of governments that do usurp upon our individual freedoms and liberties as human beings made in the image of God. And so as we are conservatives contemplating who we elect as our chief magistrate and our president, I'm very hopeful when I hear from people like RFK Jr., who are of the opposition party to my overall basic perspective, which would be traditionally more Republican or classical liberal, frankly, which is conservative, not these, crazy progressive, insane extremist liberals, but classical liberal, in the founders' view. I'm very encouraged to see people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., like Tulsi Gabbard, who's been on this show, as well, to say, you know, hey, first and foremost, we're Americans and our fidelity is to the U.S. Constitution. And here's what that means in practical terms. And if you go back and listen to this Twitter space, and I'd really encourage you to really listen to this from the perspective of not viewing RFK Jr. as a Democrat only, but as someone who is a lawyer who came from, you know, the Kennedy family with more of a historical Democratic understanding of what the Democrat Party used to be, not what it has evolved into over the last 50 years. But truly just listening to him for his own sake, right? And this is where I'm very encouraged that there are people in the Democrat Party today that are challenging the neocons and the warmongers and the extremists and the progressives in their own party. And I wish that Republicans in our party would do that more as well, and to not just have this siloed focus that whatever Donald Trump says automatically in lockstep, all Republicans have to cede to and say, yes, that's accurate, because he is the de facto current leader of the Republican Party. And he is, right? If there is an upset in the Republican primary nomination, it will be an upset. Because I think that the presumptive nominee is and has been since the 2020 election, Donald Trump. And we all know that, but that doesn't mean that if we are good conservatives, that we have to then say we can't disagree with him on some things. I mean, I represented President Trump and represented his opinions, his claims, his policy positions in his campaign and in my role as genuinely believing that he was the best person for reelection in 2020. I still believe that, and I wish that he had gotten another 4 years right away in office. And yet, while I was representing him, then even if there were some things that, you know, I disagreed with, her policy things or whatever, you know, people who worked for his administration disagreed with certain policy things. That doesn't mean that, you know, you don't do a good job as a person in the administration. That means that you have those conversations, but you have them internally. And especially as someone who was essentially a spokesperson for his campaign, for the two impeachments, you know, on the legal team as a spokesperson. I mean, my role was not to represent him on the floor of the Senate. It was to represent what the legal team was doing on television, right? And to explain all of these things and to truly represent him and his policy preferences and those things. That doesn't mean that there aren't things that at that time I disagreed with, or now as I'm seeing the Republican Party as a whole that I disagree with. Like, for example, we are in the midst of Pride Month, and to say that I absolutely disagree with the Republican Party's full embrace, it seems, of gay marriage and of transgenderism, having, you know, Lady MAGA and, you know, all of these ridiculous, absurd, frankly, leftist propositions of what has become part and parcel of the woke religion. And, you know, President Trump, Ron DeSantis, and others, Vivek Ramaswamy, have called out the woke religion. But at the same time, I see a lot of very high profile Republicans and the Republican Party as a whole, including Ronna McDaniel, the chairwoman, Rick Grenell, and others, that are embracing this type of LGBTQ idea and agenda in a way that I have started to call moral gerrymandering, right? Where we are trying to redraw the district lines of morality to say we are going to just redraw that so that we can embrace some of the, frankly, sin and the immorality of the LGBT agenda and embrace that so that we can, quote unquote, win. And I do think that President Trump has historically, and even in the 2016 and 2020 campaigns, had pride coalitions, right? And when asked, of course, I would say, well, I am a Christian. I'm part of the evangelical coalition. And so what I believe is a biblical worldview on human sexuality and those issues. I don't participate in that coalition. I am firmly against sexual orientation, gender identity, language, those types of things. And I would speak on my own behalf and on behalf of that coalition, right, which was still within the entire camp of you know, the Trump 2020 campaign. And I very ardently advocated for him and for his reelection campaign. And I do think that everything that I still said back in, you know, on the 2020 campaign is true now, and it was true at the time. But what I think, and I raise all of this to say, but what I think that we as Christians and conservatives still need to do is to understand that if we disagree with one aspect of Trump's policy or one aspect of DeSantis's policy, or we agree with and embrace policy preferences of RFK Jr. or Tulsi Gabbard or others, that doesn't make us a bad conservative or a disloyal Republican or a, oh my gosh, you're starting to sound like a Democrat, right? We can't think that we have to fully embrace the platform of every single candidate who runs under the R ticket, or fully discount and disparage anyone who runs under a D ticket. Otherwise, we're failing to see what the United States of America is all about fundamentally, which is the U.S. Constitution. And frankly, where I'm at and what I have said in terms of the 2024 election is that I will vote for whoever is the GOP nominee. And I have to say, and this is a little bit of breaking news here, and I'm going to tweet this out later, that after listening to RFK Jr., I actually need to qualify that statement, because I would vote in a general election for RFK Jr. before I would vote for a neocon warmonger like Nikki Haley. And so while I don't think that Nikki Haley is going to win the GOP nomination, I need to walk that back and say, I'm not going to just vote for whoever is the GOP nominee, because I actually think that there are better candidates now on the Democrat side, or someone who would potentially run as an independent, like perhaps if Tulsi Gabbard ran independent, or if RFK Jr. Loses the nomination in the Democrat Party, and I hope he gets it. But if he ran as an independent, and in some, you know, strange world where Nikki Haley wins the GOP nomination and RFK Jr. wins the Democrat nomination, I'm going to vote Democrat. And not because I'm a Democrat or I agree with the extreme leftist policies, but because I am a conservative and I am a constitutional originalist. And I actually like the policies and the awareness and the understanding of RFK Jr. and how he would lead the country, not on everything, certainly, but I actually have more policy and more understanding of a framework of the U.S. Constitution and values and principles aligned with RFK Jr. than I do with Nikki Haley. And what does that say about the Republican Party and the Democrat Party and our kind of siloed two-party system? Well, it says maybe we need to look beyond that. And maybe we as conservatives need to not just be in lockstep with a Republican Party and opposed to everything Democrat. We need to be principles first. And so I actually would vote for RFK Jr. before I would vote for Nikki Haley for president. Why? Because I think that he would actually be a better leader for our country in how he views the U.S. Constitution, how he understands the precedent of the U.S. Supreme Court, how he understands even the rights that the Constitution provides for protecting and preserving our rights as individuals, and parental rights, and the right to not be compelled to take a government-mandated experimental vaccine. He's been very outspoken about that, how he understands and articulated his opposition to what's going on with the war in Ukraine and funding that, and how he actually articulated in this space as well his position on gun control, where he was saying, you know, he doesn't believe that that is constitutionally a solution. And he said, you know, we need to look beyond just this whole kind of gun grabbing mentality of his own party, of the leftists just wanting gun control. And he actually quoted and cited Justice Scalia and his jurisprudential commentary and said, you know, the Supreme Court has been very clear that the protections of the Second Amendment extend to gun rights in this country. And there are a large percentage of the population that sees gun culture, is his phrasing. I would phrase it a little differently, but he's, you know, that sees gun culture as part of the implicit rights of our country. And that would be me, right? He would be talking about somebody like me, that I do believe that gun rights are essential to a well-ordered society for the individual. And so what he expressed in this Twitter space was how he said, you know, I think that we need to look beyond just these kind of knee-jerk reactions of gun control being the solution, where he said, you know, we have other countries that have gun control measures that are less than what the United States has. And they don't, those countries don't have the same problems of mass shootings that we do in this country. And he said, so that would lend to, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but his basic, you know, obviously his basic statement and his basic view on this was, he said, we need to look beyond just the knee-jerk reaction of the Democrats assuming that gun control policy is this kind of overall solution. And we need to look at it not just, you know, as a panacea or a, you know, or a solution or a remedy for all of the difficulties of these mass shootings. And he actually said as well that he would want to tell everyone, no, I'm not just going to, you know, come after your guns as president. He said, and I think that that's something that Democrats have made this such a tribalistic kind of conversation where nobody's even willing to discuss other solutions because Republicans rightly are very concerned about protecting our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. And so he said, you know, we need to be looking at other possible causes, like, you know, all of these overprescribed medications, a lot of these, you know, mental health disorders, and, you know, other things that may be proximate causes to why we have so many mass shootings in America. And that to me was a practical answer. And it was one that is not going to be well liked by the, you know, by the Republicans that want to fundraise off of, you know, Democrats or gun grabbers, and by the Democrats who are actually the gun grabbers, right? So he actually, he, RFK Jr., was actually talking about a commentary and a discussion that's beyond just these top level talking points that are geared purposefully, I think, by both parties to have an emotional reaction to this still two-party system that needs to be antiquated in our country. And I think somebody like an RFK Jr., if he were to get the office of the President of the United States, I would be much more for that and less concerned about the future of the country. I think he would actually put people in office and his personnel choices in a lot of these other areas that would have better policy than someone like a Nikki Haley. And the thing that I didn't get to ask him, and I was on the list, and then everybody, you know, ran out of time. And I know it was a 2-hour Twitter space, but the thing that I didn't actually get to ask him was about his view on the Constitution and religious freedom, because I think that that is now the seminal question. And if he accepts the invitation to come on this show or on my radio program, that's the question that I would love to ask him, is in the context of, you know, COVID and also the LGBT agenda that has basically become the woke national religion and these modern day heresy trials, that you are essentially running afoul of the national religion of the woke agenda if you don't participate in pronoun hospitality, if you don't participate in all of these different aspects of embracing and affirming the secular humanist lie that we can, as individuals, arbitrate our own humanity and we can change our gender and our biology on whim of however we feel or whatever we think. I would love to know his response to that. And that's something that if he has a good response to that, would lead me to think, wow, I would vote for him even over and above perhaps some of the other GOP candidates. And I think that, you know, oddly, even though you know, I have historically been, you know, not really a fan overall of Steve Bannon. I know a lot of you who listen to this show listen to War Room and some of those things, but I think that Steve Bannon suggesting that RFK Jr. would be a great running mate to Donald Trump is actually not a bad idea, right? I think that this kind of appeal to the moderate, disaffected Democrats, but also the people who see kind of the Republican establishment, neocons as a bad way of the party. I mean, that was what drove the political populism of Donald Trump in 2016. And I think it's still a good thing for the party if we can kind of claw back the absolute and utter abdication that we have had as a conservative party on the social issues. And this is where I think a Ron DeSantis RFK Jr. ticket could be even more fascinating, because Ron DeSantis has made it a platform issue of not only his governorship in Florida, but also now his presidential candidacy, to say that he is against the woke agenda. He stands very firmly for religious freedom, for parental rights, for pro-life issues that really do and should appeal to traditional conservatism and genuinely an originalist view of the U.S. Constitution. And he is not going to have the pride coalitions and, you know, some of these other kind of moral gerrymandering of what the Republican Party is now going down. And I think that that is why he is going to appeal, Governor DeSantis, to a lot of traditional conservatives, people who supported Donald Trump in the past. And I believe rightly so. I mean, I probably voted for President Trump twice. And if he is the GOP nominee, I will vote for him again. And I think that we needed him in 2016. We needed him in 2020. And I what I see of not the establishment Republicans, but the conservatives who've been involved in policy and politics and jurisprudence and all of this long before the rise of the populism of Donald Trump, and these people who equate conservatism and America with Trump, a lot of these people that are sort of tribalistically in favor of Trump because they can't see past that, because they weren't part of all of this equation before Trump, where I see a lot of the people that are supporting Governor DeSantis, especially evangelical Christians, is that he is trying to claw back some of this ground that we as conservatives have unwisely and ridiculously conceded over the last 50 and 60 years after the 1965 Griswold versus Connecticut case, that basically the Supreme Court absurdly suggested that they can weigh in on these issues of human sexuality and of the rise of the sexual revolution, to say that they can weigh in on these issues and arbitrate these issues when no power is given to the Congress to deal with things like contraceptive control and, you know, abortion regulation that I genuinely believe needs to happen on the state level, even though under, you know, a 14th Amendment kind of jurisprudence, the Congress could protect life in that sense on a congressional level. But really, truly, we need to roll back a lot of this myopic focus on Washington and rightly give this back to the states and have a more federalism view and a state sovereignty view. Even though, yes, that means that states like California and New York are going to continue to be extremist liberal, we need to do a better job as originalists and constitutionalists to understand that framework and not just have this, well, you know, this is just an issue that we have ceded and we need to just embrace pride in the LGBTQ movement because otherwise Republicans aren't going to win. I firmly disagree with that. I am diametrically opposed to anyone who suggests that. I am opposed to the pride coalitions on the Trump campaign, like I was opposed in 2016 and 2020. And I do think that Governor DeSantis has a better way to claw back a lot of the ground that we have ceded. And I would love to see President Trump have a better view of the genuinely conservative position. And I would 100% support him on that. And so I would love to know RFK Jr.'s position on all of this. But my point overall in all of this, as we could get into the weeds on a lot of these things, and I have now on this show, is that I don't want to ever be in a position as a voter in America with having to wholesale buy into one candidate or one party's platform without being able to parse the distinctions and say, I support Trump, for example, but I disagree with him on certain issues like the Pride Coalition. Or I support Governor DeSantis, but I disagree with the First Amendment retaliation against constitutionally protected speech that the Walt Disney Company had, even though I disagree with it. I disagree with the way that he's going about it. I don't want to say, that I'm totally against RFK Jr. just because he's running as a Democrat, or Tulsi Gabbard just because she's not a Republican, when I do agree with a lot of what he said in this Twitter space. I agree with a lot of what Tulsi Gabbard said. And for those of you who are so, so siloed in tribalistic partisan party warfare, I would encourage you, get out of this red versus blue mentality and come back to fundamentally the red, white, and blue, that we are all Americans. First and foremost, we have one constitution that governs all of us. And I don't want to be a Republican over being an American, and certainly never over being a Christian. I am country over party, and I'm absolutely Christian over anything else. And so that means I am going to call out the Trump campaign where I disagree. I'm going to call out the DeSantis campaign where I disagree. I am going to agree and affirm what DeSantis is doing that I like, what Trump is doing that I like, that I have liked historically. And I'm going to then affirm what I really liked about RFK Jr., about Tulsi Gabbard. I'm going to say the Biden administration is totally crazy, not just because he is an insane leftist Democrat that doesn't even know where he is, but because of the policy positions that he is espousing. And I hope that we as a country can come back to these long form debates like what we're seeing on Twitter spaces. And I think it's a fantastic forum for this, that we are beyond these kind of top level talking points and these, oh, he's a gun grabber, therefore evil, right? We have to be a little more sophisticated than this. We can have a long form discussion for 2 hours with a Democrat primary candidate and genuinely, regardless of your partisan politicking, say, wow, there's actually a lot to that that I agree with. And I appreciate and have hope for this country. And wouldn't it be amazing, and I will leave you with this, wouldn't it be amazing if we had a GOP nominee, whether that's Trump or DeSantis, versus the Democrat candidate being RFK Jr.? Because in that situation, I would be so much more relieved for the future of this great American experiment, if the GOP name versus RFK Jr. were the options that we had to pick from. Because that, to me, I would be so much less concerned about who the GOP nominee is if the Democrat nominee was RFK Jr. And I'm just saying that as an American. I would be so much less concerned about the general. And I've heard from a lot of Republicans who are in open primary states and even in potentially transferring their voter registration to the Democrat primary for this purpose, that they want to see RFK Jr. be the Democrat nominee over and above caring about the whole Trump versus DeSantis primary. And I actually agree with that, because if Trump or DeSantis gets the GOP nominee, I am behind them, both of them, because I believe that Trump did a great job in his first 4 years. If he got another term in office, I think he'd be fantastic. And I hope that there would be a lot that he has learned that he would continue. I don't know that he can win a general election against Biden. I think that's a conversation we need to have. But that's versus Biden, right? And if Governor DeSantis, I absolutely reject the whole Trump campaign's smear job that they're trying to do against a guy that they loved and Trump endorsed, twice for his gubernatorial runs in Florida, and said, he's the greatest governor. And, we can have these back and forth of both of the campaigns, putting out clips of each other saying, oh, well, you supported me 5 minutes ago. Well, yeah, because Trump is great and DeSantis is also great. So just stop it. Just stop with all of it. Okay. And I know that they're running, their consultants and their people are running the campaign so that their candidate wins. But I wish we could have the conversation more honestly to say, well, DeSantis is the better candidate because or Trump is still the better candidate because, but we're not going to smear Governor DeSantis falsely, right? And a lot of people have suggested that I am for DeSantis and, you know, completely don't support Trump anymore, which is not true, just because I've been calling out the Trump campaign's false smears against Governor DeSantis more than I have seen anyone on the DeSantis campaign actually say anything that is false against Trump, because there are genuinely things that we can critique about Trump's record. He has a record that he's running on. I mean, sorry, that's just what happens when you're no longer the outsider. You have a record. And DeSantis has a record in the state of Florida, but it's actually a good one. I think there is less to criticize about his record in Florida than what conservatives genuinely can criticize about President Trump. And that's not to negate or minimize all of the wins that he's had over his first 4 years in office. I mean, I was there. There was so much that I loved about what Trump did in his first 4 years. But I think we need to honestly look at this as Americans, not tribalistic personality cult adherence to, you know, if we are pro-Trump, we have to love and embrace, and he did absolutely no wrong, or therefore you're a traitor to the country, you're a hater, you know, whatever. That's just absolute nonsense. And I reject that completely. Or this whole thing that, you know, if you are critiquing anything about President Trump's first 4 years, then you were never on his team to begin with. And, you know, they're insinuating that, you know, people like Ken Cuccinelli or Steve Cortez, you know, or Kayleigh McEnany or anybody who has either actually endorsed DeSantis or even spoken positive things about DeSantis, now, you know, you never were on Team Trump to begin with. That is absolute BS. We can absolutely, as American voters, say, well, I was for President Trump in 2016 because he was the best candidate for 2020, because he was the best candidate. And now I think that DeSantis is the best candidate for 2024. That is a valid position. And you can also say, I'm still going to vote for President Trump because I still think he's the best candidate for 2024. That's also a legitimate position. But we have to get out of this insane tribalistic red versus blue, Trump versus DeSantis, you know, all Democrats are always evil all the time, you know, kind of knee-jerk reacting. We have to be more sophisticated than that. Otherwise, I do firmly believe that we are totally losing the entire narrative and we've lost the plot of our American experiment. So I'd encourage you, go back, listen to the RFK Jr. Twitter space, listen to what Governor DeSantis is saying, listen to what Donald Trump is saying, and exercise your vote in the best way possible, because first and foremost, you are an American before you are anything else in terms of party or personality loyalty.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. I have it. I love it. I sleep on it every night. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. But now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. So for you, my exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with offer and promo code Jenna. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square for the buy one, get one free offer. Enter promo code Jenna, or you can also call 800-564-8475 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. So just remember, go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code Jenna for the MyPillow 2.0 or any of Mike Lindell's fabulous Made in America products. You can also go to MyStore.com and with promo code Jenna, refill all of your MyPillow coffee and all of the great entrepreneurs' products that Mike Lindell and everyone in America should support.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.